topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you're an unbeliever, the Creator has said, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe that I exist?" On the other hand, if you're a believer, He has said, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" Please consider both of those points seriously. The opportunity is there for you, no matter what you believe, no matter what race, no matter whether you're wealthy or poor, no matter what your gender, no matter what your age, the Almighty would like to have a deep personal relationship with you. And this series of programs is about what you need to know in order to have such a relationship. Today we're going to speak about the commandments. And in that context, the Almighty has said, "My commandments are the anchor for your emunah, or faith, your trust and belief. They're the measuring stick for all you do, think, and say, and believe." For today's program, the outline, the topic is the commandments. We go through the main commandments. Number one, believe in Yah. Then the Ten Commandments. No mighty ones beside Yah. You may know Yah as the Lord or God. Both of those are inaccurate and blasphemous names that are widely used for the Almighty, but they're wrong. If you're not sure why I say that, please listen to previous programs. No idols. We should not take the name of Yah the Eternally Self-Existing in vain. Yah the Eternally Self-Existing is the correct translation of the Hebrew phrase Yahweh or Yahweh, that is generally translated as the Lord, which is completely mistaken. Keep the Sabbaths, including the high Sabbaths. Honor your parents. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery, no stealing, no false witness or lying, and no lusting or coveting. And we'll then have a discussion of what to do about what I'm going to share with you. And you may believe that you know all about the Ten Commandments, but I suggest that I'm going to give you a deeper interpretation than you've probably heard before. And you may be shocked to discover that, in fact, you're not keeping the commandments as rigorously as you thought you were. I would point out that a friend earnestly, intentionally, and actively keeps all of the commandments. For more information on the commandments, refer to the commandments menu item on the menu on the website, which I'll tell you about shortly. Who am I? My name is James Robertson. I have a PhD in civil engineering, and I've spent 25 years actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's my organizational vehicle for delivering my message via internet publishing, this radio program, and soon to be physical books. What is this program about? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. That's the heart of my message today and has been at the heart of my message for some years now. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Some questions from last week's program. How do we know if we're worthy? Well, simply put, we're really not worthy. Anybody alive in this world today is actually a mixed up, messed up specimen in terms of the way Father intended us to be when he created Adam. That doesn't alter the fact that he wants you, you personally, whatever your name is that are listening to me right now, he wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've believed up till now. He wants you to become his friend. Not because you're worthy, but because he created you to be his friend. You will prove you are worthy by taking everything that is taught on this program and putting it into practice and coming to a place where on the day of your judgment, the day that you die, when you come before the judgment seat, he says to you, well done, my good and faithful servant, my friend, come up higher. Then you will know that you're worthy. How do we prove we're deserving of a place in heaven? Well, this is an extension of the previous point. The way you prove you're deserving of a place of heaven is that you believe in the Almighty. Then you're guaranteed a place in heaven, provided you don't blaspheme his name or do major unrepented sin that eventually tears you away from him. That may only entitle you to a very dark, cold place in heaven, but it'll certainly get you into heaven. Where you end up in heaven is a matter of the different ranks that I've spoken about in previous programs, and I'll speak about them in more detail in due course. How can we make ourselves worthy of a relationship with the Almighty? Again, it's not really about being worthy. It's about putting in the hard effort, the grit and determination to prove, not even to prove, but in order to earn a high place in heaven. Many people believe there's nothing you can do, and that's just not true. The more you live a life without sin, the more you get close to Father in this life, the higher your rank will be in heaven for eternity. And the less you do those things, the lower your rank for eternity. Do we need an advocate to get into heaven? No. We do need an advocate to deal with our sin in this life, particularly as young believers. And Yeshua, the one you might know as Jesus, is that advocate. But to get into heaven, you just need to believe in the Almighty. On October the 7th, 2014, the Almighty said to me that his commandments are an anchor. He said, my commandments are the anchor for your emunah, faith, your trust and belief. They are the measuring stick for all you do, think, say, believe. If you anchor myself on my commandments, you will not fall off the mountain. The minute you start to compromise relative to my commandments, you will start to slip and slide down the mountain. This is a reference to the mountain of Yah, a metaphor that's used in some of my articles. Comes from The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, that he was shown the mountain in a series of visions. And if you've not read that book, I commend it for your reading. Father went on to say, by commandments, I refer not only to the so-called Ten Commandments, but also to my guiding principles and the ethos of serving me with integrity, grit, determination, character, and fortitude. Do all that you know to do and then stand and keep seeking deeper revelation. Every time that you slip, it is an indication of error or ignorance. I say again, a friend earnestly, intentionally, and actively keeps all the commandments. So let's start with the great commandment. Believe in Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Almighty. Fundamentally, nothing else is more important than whether you believe in Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and earth, or whether you do not believe. This is the one that most people call God or the Lord or Allah, but his real name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. If you do not believe he exists, there's really no point in keeping the Ten Commandments and living a good life. You're still not going to enter heaven. The only requirement to enter heaven is to believe that Yah exists and choose to serve him. Thereafter, you have various destinations to choose from in heaven, and I refer you to the previous messages. If you do not believe that the Almighty exists and you choose to call on him, then you are... Let me say that again. If you do not believe that the Almighty exists and choose to call on him, then you are, per definition, a servant of Satan, and you will end up as an ancestor spirit or demon until the day of judgment, and possibly forever after. There's huge mistaken understanding in the world today. People think that by living a good life, they will end up in heaven. A good friend of mine once said to me, it's all about living a good life. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but it is not the case. First, believe in the Almighty. That way you bank it into heaven. Then live a life that's pleasing to him. Overcome sin. Do whatever is necessary to serve him faithfully to the end. Live a life that's pleasing to him. Say again, live a life without sin. There's reference in the book of Revelation to overcomers. Those are people who overcome sin. The reason that Yeshua, Jesus, was resurrected was not because of some magic or some miracle, but simply because he had no sin, and therefore death had no place for him. You can come to a place like Yeshua where you live without sin. That's a key part of the goal. And to understand that, you need to understand the commandments, and you need to keep all 10 of the commandments or 11 of the commandments all the time. Important to note that Yah's commandments are not burdensome. Virtually everything that is taught about the commandments of Yah in this age is false or distorted. This program seeks to set out the true interpretation of the commandments and the implications of seeking to live life in accordance with them. Note particularly that Yah's commandments are not burdensome if we love Yah, and that if we love Yah, we will seek to keep his commandments. To say one loves Yah but fail to make a real effort to keep his commandments is fundamentally contradictory. Please note that the commandments are only applicable to believers. If you do not believe in the Almighty Creator, it does not help to live a good life and keep the commandments. You're fundamentally serving Satan, because Satan's greatest goal is to prevent people believing in the Almighty. Thus, unbelief is the greatest sin. Recently came across an individual who's got himself into a lot of trouble in the country where he lives, preaching and campaigning against same-sex marriages. The thing that he seems to miss is that he's a believer, and the people he's campaigning about are not believers. To the extent that the Almighty forbids men to have sexual intercourse with each other, he has a point. But if they don't believe, they're breaking the first commandment, and the rest of the commandments are irrelevant, so what does it matter if they're committing adultery? That's all that male-male sex is. It's a form of adultery. As far as women with women is concerned, it's actually not forbidden, despite some strange teachings that suggest that it is. Continuing on the point that Yah's commandments are not burdensome, note also that when I speak about belief, I'm speaking about a deep, settled revelation that the Almighty exists, and not some flippant statement that I know there is a God. That's really important, folks. Just sort of offhand saying, yes, of course there's a God, or I know there's a God, or whatever, is not going to cut it when the chips are down on the last day of your life, when you've just died and you're up for judgment. If you do not have a settled assurance that the Almighty exists, something that is switched in your spirit, switched in the core of your being, then you're not a believer. And all of what I teach has really got no relevance to you. If you want to get to a place where you have a close relationship with the Almighty, you have to start out by believing that He exists. So if you will have it, there is a fundamental commandment that overarches the Ten Commandments, and that is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Furthermore, the Ten Commandments that are frequently referred to fall into two categories. Chesed, love Yah, the eternally self-existing, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, which embraces the first four of the ten, and chesed, love your neighbor as yourself, which embraces the remaining six commandments. Chesed is the Hebrew word frequently translated as love, but it has distinctly different attributes to the soft, flimsy, transitory love that so much of the world evinces today. Please note, it's really not that difficult to keep the commandments, and I hope you'll see that as I speak about each of them in the next few minutes. Many of them are just quality decisions that you then walk out and stick to. A few of them are more difficult to work with, but with a bit of determination, a bit of gut strength and determination, it's totally possible to keep all the commandments and to live a life that's pleasing to Him. It's not miraculous. Commandment number one, Yah is one. This is the most fundamental of all the commandments, and correctly translated, it says, Yah, the eternally self-existing, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones apart from Him. The traditional translation, I am the Lord your God, etc., you shall have no other gods before me, is based on pagan, that is, satanic language, and totally masks the fundamentals of the commandment. The Lord is not the Almighty's name, or designation, or title, neither is God. This has resulted in teachings that Jesus is God, which are true in the sense that Yeshua is a mighty one, but Yeshua is not the Almighty. Yah, the self-existing, eternally self-existing. Please refer to my previous broadcasts on the subject. Worship of Jesus in any shape or form therefore breaks this commandment, and is therefore an abomination in the sight of Yah. The concept of the Trinity is likewise pagan, that is, satanic, and an abomination. Worship Yah alone. Worship the Almighty, the Creator. He created Yeshua, Jesus. Jesus is not the Almighty in disguise. Commandment number two, no idols. Anything that receives focus and worship that detracts from Yah is an idol. The demonic and satanic realm have caused whatever they can think of to be worshipped and become idols. That includes your car, your house, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Anything material. In the early days, the idols were quite visible. Baal and so forth had statues in bronze where babies were offered up alive as burnt offerings. Today, such crude actions would not be tolerated by all the good people who think they are serving God and not Satan, not realizing that God is also a demonic power. Thus, these demonic masterminds, having lived as human beings, have applied their minds to arrive at things that will trick human beings today. The cross is another idol. the Bible is another idol. Saying that the Bible is the Word of God and having Bible studies and Bible schools and Bible this and Bible that, Bible-based teaching, and particularly saying that the Bible is the living Word of God and without error, elevates the Bible to the status of an idol, which is totally unacceptable to the Almighty. The Bible is a useful reference work about the lives of a limited number of anointed believers over thousands of years. Read the Bible to learn about those believers and what they accomplished, and to seek to accomplish similar things in your own life. That's it. It's a useful history book. The cross, also an idol. Wearing crucifixes around your neck, having crosses on your church, your car, whatever, is also idolatry. The cross is actually a satanic symbol, an ankh. Yeshua died on a staros, a stake, a vertical piece of tree trunk, with both heads together, both hands together above his head, both feet together underneath him. Don't worship the cross. Commandment number 3, do not take the name of Yah in vain. Most people know this as, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The problem is that the Almighty's name is actually Yah, which is widely reported as Yahweh, or less accurately Yahweh, which means Yah the eternally self-existing. So if you do not know the Almighty's true name, how do you avoid taking it in vain? Well, you don't. And that's what's happened in the world today. The web portal and free email service of yahoo.com breaks this commandment. The Afrikaans word ja for yes breaks this commandment. The German word ja from jawohl for yes breaks this commandment. A sound like ja for yes is common in colloquial English in most parts of the world, and that is sin. I find people argue all sorts of things, that's unreasonable, of God would never be that way. It's not about what God would do or wouldn't do. His commandment is clear. Don't take the name of Yah in vain. Using Yah for some other purpose is taking his name in vain. It's that simple. Commandment number 4, keep Yah's Sabbaths. We're commanded to keep the Sabbath day, but there is confusion as to the day that is being referred to. Yah commands the seventh day, which is Saturday, yet the church says it's Sunday, and in recent times, many calendars are being changed to make Sunday the seventh day of the week, saying that the business day begins on Monday. There's plenty on the internet if you want to go looking to prove that the Sabbath is Saturday. Yah is clear that he's never changed the Sabbath, but then there's an added complexity. Jewish tradition has the day beginning at sunset, yet Yah says that the day begins at sunrise, the new beginning. Stop and think about it. Why would you call something that begins at night day? Surely day begins at daylight. Why would you go to sleep at the beginning of the day? You would work at the beginning of the day and rest at the end of the day. The day begins at sunrise. Furthermore, there are a number of other Sabbaths appointed by Yah. Those are Passover, Pentecost, the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the first day and eighth day, or great day, of the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. These Sabbaths contrast with the false Sabbaths of the church, being Christmas, Easter, New Year, Halloween or All Saints Day, and Valentine's Day, and so forth. So we have all sorts of false beliefs that just lead us into sin. So you can be religiously going to church every Sunday and not working on Sunday, not engaging in commerce on Sunday, and you're going to get to the end of your life and be judged and told that you broke the commandment to keep the Sabbath. I think that could be a nasty shock, in the same way that with several of these other commandments, when you find out the truth about them, you'll suddenly discover that inadvertently and unintentionally, you're breaking them to a greater or lesser extent. Those are the first four commandments, which are effectively summed up by love Yah, the eternally self-existing. The next six are summarized as love Chesed, your neighbor as yourself. These last six of the Ten Commandments relate to how we treat other human beings. Basically, honor your parents, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie or bear false witness, do not covet or lust. And these are discussed next. Commandment number five, honor your parents. We are commanded to honor our father and mother, and it'll go well with us. We're also told that if we curse our father or mother, we will die. This is not a sort of fluffy statement. It's not a verse that crept into the Bible inadvertently. It really is so that if you are a committed believer and you curse your father or your mother, you will start to die, and eventually you will die. It's just a matter of how quickly. So if you have been cursing your parents and you find that you're aging, well, maybe it's time to get on your knees and ask Father for forgiveness and go to your parents if they're still alive and ask them for forgiveness. It is not honoring to our parents to ship them off to an old age home and visit them now and again and leave others to care for them. We should provide the best accommodation we can afford within our homes and should care for them personally. In addition, we should always show due respect to our parents and should respect their opinions and their views. In many cases, our parents are inadvertent contributors to this situation. My parents certainly took it upon themselves to buy a property or rent a property in a retirement village and to move there. When I got married, I moved out of the house and went to live with my new wife. There was no thought of bringing my new wife into my parents' home and then for us to care for them for the rest of their lives. In actual fact, that probably wouldn't have worked very well because my parents didn't approve of my wife. So I'd got into a relationship with her against her will, something that cost me very dearly. And I would have been better to listen to my parents' counsel. So honoring your parents includes not marrying a man or woman that our parents do not approve of. This is, of course, subject to the parents being believers as well. If you're a believer and your parents are unbelievers and they want you to marry an unbeliever, then you have to say no. It is an absolute abomination for a believer to marry an unbeliever. Doesn't matter how much you love them, doesn't matter how you like them, doesn't matter how long you've known them. If they do not have a comparable relationship with Father to that which you have, run a mile, get away, do whatever you have to do to end that relationship, even if you are married. If you cannot bring that spouse to a place where they believe as well in a reasonable level, Father expects you to get divorced. He lives in you. He doesn't want his spirit that's living in you joined to a person who is serving Satan. There's great confusion in the church that somehow if a believer is married to an unbeliever, the rules with regard to divorce, etc., apply. No, they don't. If you're joined to an unbeliever by all, and you came to belief recently, by all means work at bringing them to conversion. But in time, if it doesn't happen, it's going to be time to get out. And if you inadvertently, in error, as a believer, married an unbeliever years ago and it's not working, get out. parents should give guidance with regard to careers and with regard to life partners. In fact, once one understands the huge implications of marrying the wrong person, one will understand why parents should actually choose our life partner for us. That assumes that the parents are walking closely with father as well. A lot of these things don't work for people who are superficial and flippant believers. Parents should be actively involved in bringing up our children, and we should be actively involved in the lives of our parents in all respects. It is still the ideal for the eldest son, or at least one of the children, to take over the family business. Commandment number 6, no murder. We are commanded not to commit murder. Abortion is murder. This generation is perhaps the most murderous, vicious generation that has ever lived through the widespread practice of abortion. It's all very well to get into this thing of saying, well, we're going to ban late-term abortions, certainly ban late-term abortions, but you should ban all abortions. A life is created the instant that the male seed, the sperm, joins with the female seed, the egg, the ovum, to form the nucleus of a new being. Anything that prevents that fertilized egg from implanting in the mother's womb is murder. So abortive contraception is murder. So if you have a loop or coil or one of these other things that's implanted in the uterus to prevent fertilized eggs from taking root, you need to get rid of it, and you need to repent of however many murders it is that you've committed through that device. Permitting and anything you do to support abortion is breaking this commandment. So if you vote for abortion, if you encourage people to have abortion, you're a murderer. You're going to get a nasty shock on the day of your judgment. Permitting a murderer to live and then releasing them back into society so that they commit further murders is a form of murder. Negligently failing to apprehend a murderer so they commit more murders is murder. Failing to put to death a murderer in terms of Yah's explicit commandment that if a person commits murder, they are to be put to death by the avenger of blood, breaks this commandment. If you have voted for or you support the abolition of the death penalty, you're a murderer. Putting an avenger of blood to death is murder. Locking an avenger of blood away also breaks this commandment. Commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Adultery is sexual union resulting in spiritual ties that cut across or short-circuit bloodlines. In simple terms, adultery is sexual intercourse between two men, either directly or via a woman that both men couple with. Adultery is also treachery and covenant breaking. Thus, sexual intercourse with a woman who is in sexual covenant with another man is adultery. The sexual covenant comes into existence when a man takes the virginity of a woman. It also comes into existence when a man ejaculates in the vagina of a woman for the first time. Thus, there are two forms of sexual covenant which generally occur together when virginity is taken. There are situations where Yah will permit divorce, but under those circumstances, specific prayers must be prayed in order to cut the spiritual ties before a new union is consummated, otherwise that new union will also be adultery. Sexual intercourse with a woman who is betrothed to another man is also adultery. All forms of adultery carry the death penalty if not repented of before death. Judgment for adultery in this life can be death. I've known of a situation of a woman who left her husband for various reasons, good reasons, as it seemed at the time. He gave her a divorce. They thought that she was divorced. She joined herself to another man, and a few weeks later she died an excruciatingly painful death because she had been judged for adultery. Note that repentance does not mean that you can continue the relationship. The woman must return to the man who she's in covenant with, except under very special circumstances. The sin of adultery is probably the most difficult sin to unravel. Just about every person on the planet has had multiple sexual partners, maybe on a casual basis, maybe on a basis of some dating or whatever, where they've broken up after a time. Very few people who get legally married today legally marry the woman whose virginity was taken or the man who took the woman's virginity. The result is that most people are in adultery and most people will face a really painful experience when they are judged. It is technically possible for a man to take the virginity of more than one woman. So it's technically possible, and we are created it that way, for a man to be able to have more than one wife. The fact that in our society today, we can't cope with it for the most part. There are a few people who seem to make it work. But as a general principle, it's very, very difficult to make that work today. So I'm not saying you should do it. I am saying that if you've taken the virginity of two or more women, then you have two or more wives, and you better deal with it, unless something has happened that allows you to get clemency and allows you to get divorced from some of those women. And that's a whole discussion in its own right, and possibly I'll talk about that one of these days. There's a lot of wrong thinking about adultery. Commandment number 8, no stealing. We're commanded not to steal. The challenge is that today the lines have become blurred. There are lies when we're contracting, and fraudulent contracts are stealing. Prosperity teaching, which encourages congregants to give to the church or pastor or preacher, is stealing if that person is teaching falsehood, which applies in almost all cases, and it is suspect in most other cases. I can't stress this enough. We give blindly to ministries that are encouraging us and that we believe we're getting value from, without any thought to where they stand with the Almighty. If they are actually serving Satan because of the lies that they're teaching and the error that they have, they may not be 100% serving Satan, but they're serving Satan at some material level. Then don't give them your money. You're going to get yoked with that sin. You're going to get yoked with the error. Only give to somebody who is clearly close to Father, who is clearly teaching truth. And you need to check out what is truth in the context of what I'm talking about today. Outright theft is obviously stealing, but making it right is not just about repenting. We may be called on to make restitution, to restore what we stole, multiplied by anything from 3 to 10 times. I once had an experience where I had borrowed on a permanent basis, euphemism, some items, small items of limited value from the university where I'd been doing research. And at one stage I had a dream where I was shown that a disgruntled former employee was going to come and burgle my house. And I prayed about it, and the Almighty said to me, I cannot protect you. I cannot protect your house because you have stolen goods in it. Take the goods back to where they came. So I had to load those things up in my car, make an appointment at the university with one of the senior lecturers, and go and return the items that I'd stolen in full daylight, in full view of everybody who happened to be walking past the building at the time. Getting your life right with Father is not a simple matter. It needs to be done seriously. Commandment number 9, no false witness or lying. In considering this point, it is vital to understand that all liars will have a part in the lake of fire and brimstone. That relates to believers who lie. Yah is not interested in unbelievers. They're Satan's responsibility. And Satan is the father of all liars. So the minute you start lying, you are aligning yourself with Satan. You're becoming a servant of Satan. That is why Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, because of disobedience and rebellion and sin. It's sin that will keep you away from a close relationship with Father. It is vital to understand that the world we live in is full of lies, particularly when it comes to the matters of the Almighty and Satan. There are lies about creation, there are lies about the flood, there are lies about just about everything. So much of what the world believes today is false. The challenge in the area of belief in Yah is to discern the truth from the lies, and perhaps the most difficult thing is to grasp at almost all the formal Christian church and actually the Jewish religion and the Muslim religion teaches is false, as will be found if you study the material on my website and look particularly at the Seek Truth page to start. Commandment number 10, no coveting or lusting. Coveting or lusting is an intense form of desire. It actually projects your spirit out towards the object of your lust in a way that, if it is intense enough, can be seen in the spirit realm and acted on by the satanic forces. Coveting or lusting is a form of worship, and it leads to wrong behavior and is therefore forbidden. This includes lusting after the woman who's your secretary, lusting after the man who's your work partner or work associate, lusting after a particular car, lusting after a house that you can't really afford. A lot of advertising and marketing material is designed to engender lust. It's designed to get us to spend money and do things that we can't really justify because we just have to have that car, no matter how difficult it is. There's a difference between a sober assessment of what you can afford and what you want and lusting for something that you can't afford. So what should you do? First of all, commit to taking the commandments seriously. Pray, Father, help me to take your commandments seriously. You may say that's a very trite prayer, but it's a very important prayer. And pray other prayers around this subject. If you look on the website, you will find an area called Important Prayers. Have a look at that. Download those documents. There's a lot there that you can put into practice. Seek to deeply understand the commandments. There are numerous pages on the website under the commandments menu items that discuss the commandments and their full interpretation in detail. There's also much on the internet of support in support of what is taught by me, particularly against the base around the basics. But you do have to exercise discretion. There's a hang of a lot of wrong teaching on the internet as well. One of the fundamental principles here is to seek truth, not error. Sift through what you find. Ask Father to open your eyes to read only that which he wants you to read, and your mind to receive only that which he wants you to receive. It's a process. I can't stress this enough. First of all, take a quality decision. Then study what is here. Study the other articles on the commandments pages and the website. Pray about it. Ask for guidance. It's going to take you time to fully understand the commandments. It's going to take you time to unravel the wrong behaviors and the wrong beliefs that you may have taken on board that are causing you to break the commandments at a material level. Deeply examine your life from conception. Identify all significant sin and specifically confess and repent of each major incident. Refer to the article on seven components in growing close to the Creator that's referenced at the end of this broadcast. Simplistically, take a pad of paper, typically an A4 or letter-sized pad, and down the left-hand margin or the right-hand margin if you write from right to left, write every year since you were born and leave about 5 or 6 blank lines. So you're going to fill pretty much a whole pad with 5 or 6 blank lines for each year of your life. Then run through everything that happened in your life as best you can remember. So you might want to map out those years and say, this year I was born, this year I started at preschool, and this year I went to primary school, and this year I went to senior school, and this year I went to university, and this year I had my first job, and this year I did this, and this year I did that. And as you do that, you will remember more and more about what happened in your life, and then go through that in terms of people who did wrong to you, people you did wrong to, things you took that you shouldn't have taken. So you might repeat this exercise with half a dozen pads over a period of months or years before you have fully cleaned up your life. Again, I refer you to the article. In doing this, recalibrate your thinking and your lifestyle, that you make whatever adjustments are necessary for you to live a life above sin. I cannot stress enough, above sin. You've got to overcome sin. If you really want to get to a place of high standing with Father, live a life above sin. A couple of the questions at the beginning of this program, people asking, what is it that I need to do to be worthy? Well, if you want to be worthy, live a life above sin. Get rid of the sin in your life, every bit of sin in your life, even the things that are not clear. Remember that a friend keeps all the commandments all of the time and is swift to confess and repent whenever they slip. Confession is not enough. You must repent. A deep-seated, heartfelt realization of the wrong you've committed, the harm it has caused, the damage it has done to you, the pain it has caused your Father in heaven, and then choose to turn around and go in the opposite direction. You need, every time you catch yourself sinning, you need to take a decision not to do that again. And it may take you some time, maybe some years, to break bad habits, particularly things like lying. It may take you time to unravel the consequences of your adulteries, but you need to do the hard yards. You need to do the hard work. So to recap the commandments, the first and greatest commandment, believe in Yah. Then the Ten Commandments, no mighty ones beside Yah. No idols, do not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, in vain. Keep the Sabbaths, including the high Sabbaths. Honor your parents, do not commit murder, no adultery, no stealing, no false witness or lying, and no lusting or coveting. And it's going to take you time to put all of that into practice fully. And as I say, you may well find that if you study thoroughly what is on the website, then it's not as easy as it might first look. And you may find that if you're a committed believer and you really thought you were living a life above sin, that there's a bunch of things that I've talked about tonight where you actually are in serious sin. And that may be why things are going wrong in your life as a believer. I spoke at the last message about judgment in this life. If you're breaking any of these commandments, you will be judged. And these commandments carry a price of death. In due course. And I say again, a friend earnestly, intentionally, and actively keeps all the commandments. And again, there's no point in keeping these commandments if you are not a believer. You can live be as good as you like, but if you do not believe in Yah, the Almighty, the Creator, it's not going to work. I'd like to refer you to four key documents that you can download off the website. The first is the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The second is seven components in drawing close to the Creator. The third is the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. And the fourth is, where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? I believe these four articles are amongst the most important, or in fact the most important, that I've ever written. They contain information which is absolutely vital to understanding the Almighty. Go to www.endtimeissueministries.org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's James, J-A-M-E-S, at endtimeissuemininstries.org. Visit the website and click on the commandments link for more information about the commandments. So thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list. And I'm compiling a collection of my writings, which will be published in hard copy and also in PDF format. Please email me if you would like to obtain a copy. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. The first volume is the most important writings, including those that I've just listed. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will more deeply explore how to become a friend of the Creator. In closing, I would say again, it doesn't matter where you are now, it doesn't matter what your race is, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, you can become a friend starting now.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.